This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Once I was lost in the woods, I saw a girl in a hood. She told me I should stick to a path. Wolves will blood behind my back. They wait for the one to lose.
Hi, Laura Hurwitz here, and welcome to Mightier Than the Sword on the Easy Chair Podcast. Before Stephanie and I get rolling, I want to talk to you about our sponsor for the week. It's Zola. Zola is the wedding company that will do anything for love. In fact, they're reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in a couple's lives even happier. Why choose Zola? For one thing, it's free, and for another, it's really easy to use. The Zola Registry has everything you love about your favorite department store, plus things like honeymoon funds, fitness classes, wine subscriptions, and a whole bunch of other things. They have a great customer service team that will go above and beyond, and they will help you pick out the perfect blender or maybe walk a grandparent through a couple's registry and even answer your own admittedly silly questions. One thing I love is the group gifting feature, which lets multiple guests contribute to those big ticket items. Also, there's a top-rated app for iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch, so couples can manage their registries on the go. A couple's Zola registry automatically integrates into their Zola wedding website so that guests can seamlessly shop and get all the details they need in one place. They don't need to just keep searching around, cross-referencing. It just makes things a snap. I just wish I had something like Zola when I was getting married, because it really would have saved me a lot of hours in the return line at various department stores. So, what you should do to sign up with Zola and receive a $50 credit toward your registry, just go to Zola, that's Zola.com/easychair. Again, that's Zola.com/easychair for a $50 credit towards your registry. Zola, what a great company, and it's all in the service of love. Hey, Steph.
Hey, Laura. Happy holidays.
Oh, thank you. Happy holidays. We're being very cautious here.
Yes.
No, I'm only joking.
Very inclusive. This is a rich time of year with many, many traditions that are so wonderful.
You're absolutely right. Stephanie and I were having a little conversation slightly earlier about Merry Christmas. And as a person who celebrates many holidays, I'm not the least bit offended by people saying Merry Christmas to me. I think the thing that's hardest for me is when people say Merry Christmas and then they get this look of horror.
Like, did I make a mistake?
Right. And then they say, oh, happy holidays. Uh-huh. Which I mean, it's just Merry Christmas is fine, because it is definitely Christmas.
Yeah, it is. It's Christmas and it's Hanukkah.
Yep. And it's Kwanzaa.
Yep. Upcoming New Year's, followed by Lunar New Year. So it's a big time of year. Followed by Valentine's Day.
I have this theory that a lot of these things are in the winter just to get you through the winter.
Because you need something to look forward to.
Yes, and Stephanie, I should mention, is just about to get started on her school vacation.
So my actually favorite day of the school year is not the last day of school in June. It's the last day of school before winter vacation. Because it's actually like a harder slog traditionally to get to that break. And all kids are crazy and excited. Everything is very stressful. At the end of the year, you'd have this finality. But here in the middle of the year, it's just like so exciting. And there are a lot of special things. There are the concerts at the parties and everything. So I get very excited.
Summer is one kind of thing. It's like, hey, I can relax. But this is more like, stuff is happening.
It's exciting.
Well, that is really good. So your favorite day is coming up.
That's right. Just a few days away. Just 48 hours away. Not that I'm counting. Yes, I count. Now, in my school, I teach near a lot of the elementary school classrooms. Cheers to you, elementary school teachers. Only through, like, talk about faith. There's a lot of prayer that it takes to get through winter vacation, because little kids are excited about Christmas.
You they
know,
are.
In a very specific and in kind of chaotic way. They're really, really excited.
Yeah, like wired, sleepless,
like
excited.
Shaking, like they shake because they're so excited. Do you remember when you actually like got excited for Christmas and you like couldn't wait for Christmas morning and stuff?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I also remember that I really thought that if Santa knew I wasn't sleeping, I wouldn't get gifts, so I would have a bout of insomnia. It was like I could not
anxiety,
fall asleep.
Santa anxiety.
I remember crying because I was not sleeping.
He knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake.
I know that really it was my parents who were right. really wanting us to go to mm-hmm. bed so they could put the presents uh-huh. out there, because I've been on that end of it too. Uh-huh. When you've got kids awake and it's 11 o'clock and they're still up and it's like, will you go to bed so I can pull off yeah. this stunt?
Yes.
So I can put these presents out and you can think they're not from me.
Yeah. Yes.
Which seems a little...
It is very contrived. I have to say, I don't have children, so I don't have to make these choices about what kind of Christmas I would do if I had kids. But I think it's a hard decision, because the whole idea of believing in Santa Claus, I don't know, it's very far-fetched.
I like the fact that my kids believed in Santa, because mm-hmm. it was almost a magical thing. Mm-hmm. It's like this faith that yeah. this great thing is going to happen, and you can't explain it, but here's this guy, he can go around the whole world yeah. and leave presents for everybody in one night with mm-hmm. flying reindeer. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely far-fetched, but you have this faith. Okay, Steph, so do you have a favorite Christmas memory?
That's a tricky one. I mean, I can remember when Christmas was like magical, because you wake up, you see all the presents, there's so much mystery, you believe. So I could definitely remember many fine Christmases like that. I think for me now, especially as an adult, the best thing about Christmas is going on Christmas Eve in my hometown to Christmas Eve service at church. You know, it's a tiny little chapel in this tiny little town. And we do, it's just mostly my cousins and aunts and uncles who are there, and other people from town. And my cousin Juanita is the pastor who leads the service and plays the piano, and we're all singing along. And then at the very end, there's a silent night with the candles lit. You know, they turn the lights off, yeah. and it's just really special. And that to me is, as an adult, become the most special thing about Christmas.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes go to the church up the street where my parents mm-hmm. went and where I went growing up, and they have an evening service mm-hmm. before Christmas. And I like to be in the balcony and just kind of look at everything below. And I feel very close to my parents when I do that. Mm. But as a young kid, I think my favorite memories were going to California for Christmas.
Oh, interesting.
Which was, it's kind of unusual, because most people associate Christmas mm-hmm. with evergreens and snow. And we, at least half of the Christmases of our lives, went out to California. So I think of Christmas with palm trees mm-hmm. and going to places like Santa's Land, which was like up in the mountains
in
California. But it would be like 80 degrees. And then you'd like go up this road and there'd be snow, not abundant right. snow, but right. snow. And it was just... It was cool. I mean, there was definitely a reverence for snow out there that you don't have here.
So what was at Santa Land? Was it like just different, was it rides or
yeah,
like costumes?
Yeah, there were rides. It was kind of like a poor man's Disneyland.
Okay.
A very, very poor man's
We have
Disney.
One of those up in northern New England, at Santa's Village in New Hampshire. It's like... Definitely like that.
It's yeah. very kitschy.
Yes.
But when you're a kid, you don't know what kitsch is.
No, it's awesome. It's just like really fun and really cool.
Like, the best. Yeah. And my mother's parents, who lived in Southern California, they were the best gift givers.
Oh, fun.
Just copious gifts and a lot of things that you didn't ask for. They were just mm-hmm. surprise gifts.
Oh.
Now, as a grown-up, I prefer, if I'm going to get a gift, that it's something that I actually need and can mm-hmm. use.
Right.
But I think just kind of this, hey, you know, whimsical. I saw this and I thought
yeah,
of you. There you go.
That's pretty nice, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I do miss that.
Yeah.
I do miss the mounts.
I feel like there's so much stress around holidays and giving and gifts that it's almost, it kind of like ruins it in some ways, because people are so burdened by it. So now for me, we actually stopped giving gifts a couple of years ago. It was one of those, it's kind of like stirs up a lot of trouble in families when you want to change traditions.
It does.
So we decided that we had a really sort of abundant tradition of gift giving in our family, too much gifting. It became about the presents, and it's hard to give people things when you can't really figure out something that will really be useful to them. And then you're getting things that may not be useful as well, even though it's very generous. So we decided, we just told our family we won't be giving gifts this year. and we ask you not to give us gifts. We'd rather spend time together and spend time doing things and spend the money doing things together, experiences. So there was, so that we know it wasn't without some controversy, but we've changed the tradition. And so it takes away the stress, and it's so enjoyable now to like not have to worry about shopping and wrapping and even unwrapping.
That is an interesting thing. Okay, so across the board, you don't exchange and people don't exchange with you, but right. Not the entire family culture.
Right,
has
so
changed,
we
right?
have Christmas with my brother's family and my mom. Actually, not on Christmas Day, but on New Year's, because we can get together on New Year's. So even after we decided to not do gifting on Christmas, you know, we told my mom, she still gives us some presents, or she has done that, but we're just gracious about it. We know that she's doing it because she truly wants to. And right. so that kind of changes it. We just takes the obligation out of it. So
that's great. And it takes the stress out.
And it takes the stress out. And the expense, you know, we can be generous in other ways. We love to treat our family to dinner, lunches out. We're hoping to take the kids out for some fun, exciting things. So
there's nothing better than experience. We are going to Mexico as a family, which is going to be everyone's present for everybody. And I'm just so excited because we don't buy anything. Mm-hmm. Basically, we pack suitcases.
That's right.
We're going to be, you know, sitting on a beach. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anything that I would rather do.
And will you actually be there for Christmas?
Yes. We leave.
So you'll be going to Catholic
days.
Church then?
Yes. Yes. We kind of got started on that tradition of going away for Christmas, which is like you, sort of taking the gift giving out when the kids were young, and we would go to the Cayman Islands with our relatives, and there was no gift exchange. Mm-hmm. It was just like we'd wake up to sunrise on the beach.
That's such a gift.
It was such a gift. I know as a writer, some of my favorite work involves Christmas.
Oh,
it was
me
about
too.
Christmas.
Me too.
All right. Okay, you go first.
Okay, I have a bunch, but okay. The first one I'm going to mention is David Sedaris, Holidays on Ice.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I read this was on a train, an Amtrak train to Vermont many years ago, and it was packed. And I was just laughing. I kept laughing out loud because it's so funny. And then people all around are just kind of like looking over like, what's this crazy person laughing like this? So that is a great collection. If you're stressed about the holidays, it's a great way to make light of the holidays. And I guess it's been turned into a show. Santaland is based on that. The Santaland something. There's like a show about that's based on that. So
I might have to go check that
Google
out because
that.
I love that book. I love the classic A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Yeah, that's a classic.
It's one of my favorite. I have committed like large parts
yes,
of it to
yes.
memory. I wear the chain I forged in life. I mean, I get
it's so good.
It's beautifully written, and I think it stands up to anything else that
so
Dickens has written.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people see it as this light confection, you know, he wrote it for Christmas, but I think it's every bit as good as A Tale of Two Cities or Great Expectations. I just think it's a beautifully written
And it's such
book.
A condensed work compared to his, the tomes of his, you know, many of his books are so long.
They are, and the length makes them, it's a little bit of a drawback,
Yeah, it's
actually.
Hard to get through. You know, many of his books were written serially, as you know. They just go on and on forever. I think The Christmas Carol was just one shot. And there is a new movie out this season about A Christmas Carol and Charles Dickens writing it. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas. I really want to see it. It's a comedy, sort of. It looks really charming. I'm going to try to see that. Do you have a favorite holiday movie?
I was going to say, yeah, I think it's A Christmas Carol.
A Christmas Carol. Which one? Which one? Which version?
I think I like the Alistair Sims one.
Okay.
But I also really like, I like some other ones. I like Scrooged. It's with Bill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
And I like Elf. I think I like kind of like either, you know, comedies
or light
movie. Classic things.
I like the George C. Scott made-for-TV movie version of A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
It's for me, it's like the classic one. It's kind of, it's not a masterful production. Like the accents are all wrong.
I know we maybe didn't talk about a ton of writing stuff, but I do hope that people write over the break. I was an epic fail on our poetry challenge, which we had going on last time. I did not even... I wrote
a poem. So our challenge led us to two poems that wouldn't have been if we hadn't, you know, challenged. Maybe we'll write some poems and share them in the new year.
That would be good. We really have a good idea for our Mightier Than the Sword in January.
That's right.
And it involves words.
Words. We love words.
Yeah. But Stephanie, have an awesome Christmas.
You too. Have an awesome all of the holidays.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And Stephanie knows this. She came over today and we had a holiday card from a friend. It was a Christmas card from a friend. Yeah. What am I saying? But it said Merry Christmas on it. And then she had crossed out Merry Christmas and written Happy Holidays. And I was telling Stephanie, no need.
No need. It's okay. We're not offended.
We're not offended. We get it. And besides, you didn't cover the Merry Christmas anyway.
I know. We could still read it.
Yeah. So it's
and we
cool.
intend to have one. So thank you very much.
That is so true. So
and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody out there.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you in 2018.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.